I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And our text for today's meditation is at verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And so on this Lord's Day's worship, which coincides with Christmas, there is no other subject that is worthy of our attention, that is worthy of our thoughtful and reflective meditation than the subject of God's gift, which Paul described as the unspeakable gift of God to us sinners in this world. For those of us who are Christian believers, let us not be gullibly taken by the jingles of all these Christmas commercials and feasting, but rather to join with the Apostle Paul to praise and give thanks to God for His unspeakable gift to this perishing world. Our subject this morning is the gift of gifts. What moves the Apostle Paul to write 2 Corinthians 9:15? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The answer is this. Paul was so stirred, moved, or touched because he personally was the recipient of this gift from God by faith and had known the power and the work of this gift in his own life. How the gospel came to him out of God's mercy for him. He tasted it. He enjoyed it. He was blessed with this gift. Furthermore, in this context in chapter 9, he saw the power of this inexpressible gift, the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of the Christians at Corinth, when they unreservedly gave in support to the needy saints, gave in support to those of brethren whom they have not even seen or met. They gave unreservedly in support of these needy Christians, those who have been abundantly forgiven of their sins will also give freely. You will, if you have been touched by the love of Christ and you are a born-again believer through the work of the Holy Spirit, it is very certain, as the recipient of that grace, of that love, of that mercy from God, of that gift, you tasted it and you will freely, willingly, joyfully give it to others. And we read of it just now in the book of Luke, isn't it? Chapter 2. When the shepherds, after they have heard it, what? They went to proclaim, broadcast, that they have seen the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And so Spurgeon said this, I quote, "The large heart of God breeds large hearts in man and in woman too, and they who live upon His bounty or His gift are led by His Spirit to imitate that bounty according to their power," unquote. We found
or rather we find here the Apostle Paul in this chapter, in his letter to the Corinthians, he was full of praise. He was very glad and joyful to see the Corinthian Christian in their giving to the needs of the Christian in Jerusalem. He was much encouraged by their willingness to give to the relief of the brethren in distant land, which I have said just now they have not seen nor heard, to which they have no connection at all, except for the spiritual bonding in Christ. They recognize, they acknowledge, they realize that these are their brethren in Christ. They have the same Savior. Yet they generously contributed to the welfare of the suffering brethren in the provinces of Macedonia and Achaia. Now, more importantly for us, as we look at this passage and this particular text, behind the hearts of this generous giving of the Corinthians, Paul saw something in them that moves them, that stirs them to give in a sacrificial way. Because you must remember that the Christians themselves in Corinth, they are not rich. They are also suffering. You must understand that the Christian at that time, under the rules of the Romans, they were a persecuted people. Not like us right now, as I said before. To those here, members of this church, we have it very good. What suffering do we have as Christians? Are you suffering for the sake of the gospel? Do you not continue to enjoy? Of course, there are changes right now, I know, this anti-Christian sentiment in this nation. It is sad, but yet relatively, are you not blessed? Do you not? What are you doing here this morning? Is it not because you are still enjoying God in His mercy, still allow and permit, and He overrules to give us freedom of worship at every Lord's Day? We can come. And for this congregation, let us not forget, we still have this place of worship which you can see here. There are many Christians, and particularly at that time, they were suffering people, yet you see them as they are touched, convicted by the gospel. And now they are constrained. Paul sees in them the love of Christ that constrained these Christian believers to act. They cannot just sit down and see their fellow brethren suffering. And as I said just now, they don't know each other. What about us? We who claim to be Christians, and we, and particularly for us, oh, we are in the Reformed faith and all that. What is in our hearts? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? Are you mindful of God's mercy and love? And do you not want to share this with others to bring this or to point others to this gift of gifts from God? And so that inspired them. The love of Christ inspired to the Christians in Corinth, because they have first received the greatest gift of God into their own hearts, and that produces such kind of attitude or such kind of heart that is selfless and gracious. And so upon seeing such Christian virtue in them, the apostle, who helped to establish this church in Corinth as their pastor or minister. He is so thankful and so moved, and he compels Paul to give thanks to God for this unspeakable gift which he himself has received, and now he sees manifested in the lives of this Corinthian Christian. And this is the background to chapter 9 that gives rise to Paul's doxology in the last verse of this chapter, praising and blessing God for working in them such a love of Christ. Likewise for us, brethren, we ought to praise and thank God for this gift, which far exceeds any other gifts that we have received from the Father's hand. In our text in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it brings out to us three major lessons which I like to speak to you, which we do well, brethren, particularly as we, not just on this occasion of 25th, or rather the Christmas day, but more importantly, let us not forget and not be carried away by all this festivity that we are approaching in 6 days' time, the end of this year. Will we cross over? Only in God's mercy. And so we do well to reflect upon it, not only on Christmas Day, but regularly, so as to move us, so as to inspire us to give thanks to God, to live a sacrificial life for the glory of God, for the name of Christ, that honors our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is that gift of gifts sent by God. Our first lesson from this text is the public announcement of God's gift of gifts. We are told in the scripture, particularly in the four gospels, that the angels proclaimed the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 14, which we have just read. And the announcement of this first advent of Christ was, I hope you have noticed, that it was not made to kings and well-knowns, the rich and the mighty, but was made first to the lowly shepherds in the fields near Bethlehem. The angels, under divine command, brought this good news to the humble or lowly shepherds, who were the least likely people for such a significant breaking news. Yet God saw it fit to make it known to, or rather saw it fit not to make it known to kings or religious leaders, but to lowly shepherds in the field. The public announcement of this unspeakable gift, this gift of gifts, is Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you know it, or even guess it. The only begotten Son of God, who came in the likeness of man, in the likeness of human flesh, into this sin-cursed world to save sinners. This is the true announcement, and this is the most needed announcement to be made to the public and to all, young and old, boys and girls, men and women, of whatever ethnicity, and the most urgent announcement that everyone in this world need to hear. The public announcement is an expression of God's love, of God's mercy and compassion upon undeserving sinners. This is the most wonderful news you and I can ever hear from God. But sadly, we cannot deny it. Many do not want to hear, and those who profess or claim to be Christian are getting sick and tired of hearing this, even though they say or claim to be Christians. Words are not sufficient, my friends, to express how good and precious this news is, because it is not only a message of hope, and by the way, may I add, it is not an uncertain hope, it is a sure hope of eternal hope, but it also concerns our eternal destiny. When we look at the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, that is, it reveals that immediately after the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, God without delay, did you notice that? God without delay tells them in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And in this verse, Genesis 3:21, lies the promise to our first parents of this unspeakable gift. As for us, this gift of gift has been already given, but as I said, many of us have taken it for granted, and particularly those of us who have been Christian for umpteen years, it has become just something that we can, or we have, take it for granted, and we no longer are interested to be reminded of God's unspeakable gift. We take it very casually, we take it for granted. God knows that we cannot save ourselves, and He has no desire to see us perish in our sin. And so He comes to us and make known His love and grace to us to save us through His Son, the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul expressed his thoughts in another way of this text of 2 Corinthians 9:15. Paul puts it in another way, which we read in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul's life mission, after he was converted, was to make known to the world this gift of gift from God. We see in the Gospel in Luke, the shepherd's reaction was one of joyful belief, joyful worship and praise from the hearts. They were told not to be afraid in Luke 2 verse 10, but to rejoice and to give thanks for such an unspeakable gift. And so we are to respond in the same manner, with faith for those of us who are in Christ, believing in Christ alone as our only Savior, and not forget the other part, as Lord. You see, there are many people who love, desire for salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh, why? So that I need not go to hell. But after that, please, let me leave me alone to live my life according to what I desire and please. They want Jesus as their Savior. They do not want Christ as their Lord. They reject the Lordship of Christ. And therefore, they just want to so-called take one part of that pie. Faith and love in Jesus Christ cast out all fear, my dear friends. And this is a heavenly announcement that has eternal consequences for us, which we must take heed. This is serious matter, my friends, concerning your soul. All else can go, all else must take secondary place if you are not saved, if you are not in Christ, if this gift of gift, the Lord Jesus, is not the gift that you have received. Think again. And so we must go beyond the tinsel and the seasonal hype of Christmas to appreciate, and for us the Christian to appreciate deeper and to be reminded of the lasting impact of this gift of gifts. This brings us to our second point, or the second lesson, which is this: the person in God's gift of gifts. And it is important for us to know and to understand the central figure of this gift. It is Jesus Christ the Savior. And we must also understand who we are in relationship to Christ, in relation to God. It is Jesus, the Savior of the world. John 4:24, or 4:42 rather. He is the Anointed One. In Greek, the Christos, which means Messiah. And He is the Lord of all creation, the Kurios, the Master, and the one having authority. Then that is why I say, Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord of the Christian. He is the mediator and the only redeemer of all who would trust in Him as their Savior. And I must add again, He is not only the mediator. He is the only mediator accepted by God to pay the penalty of no other mediator, only Christ, God Himself. For Jesus is fully God, fully man. Only in Christ God is willing to accept that mediator. He is the great high priest who will mediate a sinful race to a thrice holy God. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, the prophet, the good shepherd, and more importantly, the soon returning king, which many ignore. And they live as though they're going to live here forever. Listen again to the Prince of Preacher. I quote from C.H. Spurgeon. He says this: Christ, He is perfect man and glorious God. No tongue of seraph or of cherub can ever describe the full nature of Him whose name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is He whom the Father gave for us men and for our sakes. He was the Creator of all things, for without Him was not anything made that was made. Yet He was made of flesh and dwelt among us. He fills all things by His omnipresence. Yet He came and lived among sinful men on earth. This is that Jesus who was born of Mary, yet who lived before all worlds. He was that Word who was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He is unspeakable. It is impossible to put into human language the divine mystery of His sacred being. Truly man and yet truly God. God gave God for you, or for thee. Do thou hear it? To redeem thee, O believing man, God gave Himself to be Savior. Surely that is an unspeakable gift. Unquote. Isn't it very heavy going, what Spurgeon has spoken? Do we really grasp it? Do we really understand it? Have we really appreciated that deeper? Who Christ is? Christ is the gift of gifts. The one who is willing to condescend Himself to come into this sin-cursed world. He need not to. He's not obligated. God has no obligation to save anyone, any sinner. The only thing that we deserve is hell, the lake of fire. Christ, the one who is willing to condescend Himself, not in the glory of his heavenly throne, but to be born in a, not just a manger, as I said this before also many times over. Every time we look at a Christmas card or we send Christmas card to people, oh, this very warm and cozy manner, this baby Jesus is there, and then all this, how the artist has artist's impression of it. We forgot one thing. Oh, before all this candlelight, oh, so warm and cozy. It is a manger. What is a manger? 5-star hotel? No. I add the word here, smelly manger. The manger is a place where the animals are kept. Is it not true? And what? These animals and cattle put on deodorant? You see, many a times, our mind, when we see all this, we just, oh, you know, we are so mesmerized, but oh, you know, but we forget. Oh, my dear friends and brethren, let us once again return to the gospel and read it again and again. And particularly on this day, as we celebrate, so to speak, the birth of Christ, which actually is not 25th December. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that Christ is born on 25th December. Far from it. Anyway, I shall leave that to your own study. The infinite God became an infant. The infinite God became an infant. The Almighty God became man. This is indescribable indeed. The Lord Jesus, before whom all the angels or the angelic hosts of heaven bow in worship, prostrate. They veil their faces. They dare not even look at Jesus, his glorious face. He, whom angel worship, should come here among us, men, and among the poorest of sinners. Do we understand? What a condescension. What humility. Brethren, there are many more things concerning the gift of God, the Lord Jesus, which we can speak of. Yet of all the books of this world, cannot be fully written of him. It is an inexhaustible subject. Beyond the utterance of man, beyond the utterance of angels. It is marvelous. It is wonderful indeed. But suffice to say for now that where would we be? Think of this. Have we thought of it? Perhaps we have, but perhaps not deep enough. Think of it. Where would we be if God has not given us this gift of gifts? We will not be sitting here this morning, for without Christ there is no Christianity, no hope, no eternal life. There will be no hope for redemption of any or of all lost sinners condemned to hell. Jesus of Nazareth, my friend, is no mere human being. He is the living and true God and the only deliverer of this people from their sins. There is no other way. I was told by someone who recently texted to me this well-known celebrity in America by the name of, what's the name? Omfrey something? And she said, oh, it is sad to say that we have no other way. We have many other ways to God. And sadly, many have taken her words for truth. Jesus of Nazareth is no mere man. He is the living and true God, the only deliverer. He is both fully God and fully man, the only sacrifice, as I said, acceptable to God for the penalty of our sins. Christ said of himself in John 14 verse 6, and I'm sure you know this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then you read also by the writer, the physician in Luke, chapter 4, verse 12, adds, Luke, or rather, sorry, correction. The writer Luke, who is the physician, who wrote Acts, in Acts 4:12, he says what? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is God's gift to you and to me, my friends. Without Christ, our life will be hopeless, vanity or emptiness. We would be in darkness without meaning and purpose in this life. Our final lesson from this text is this: the purpose of God's gift. Of gifts. After hearing the public announcement and the receipt of the gift of salvation, we are not to be silent. And as I said just now, in Luke 12, or rather Luke 2, 13 to 14, we are told, or we read, that suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." This is for us, the Christian believers, to imitate. We are to first praise and glorify God for the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Then we are to echo the words of the Apostle Paul, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Can you and I truly say this from our hearts, that God be praised? Should this not be the repeating theme for the rest of your life, my life, for those of us who are Christian, even unto eternity? Dear friends, you cannot thank God if you do not know Jesus Christ personally. It is the same, isn't it? How can you be truly from your heart be thankful to that person whom you do not know, whom you do have not tasted or received any kindness or any deeds, isn't it? Let me tell you this morning that it matters to God that you know Him personally. It matters to God so much that He is repeating this public announcement to you, to me, of His Son's birth, year after year, day after day. He is calling out to you to come to Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus. Night after night, He is pleading. He is patiently waiting for you to return to Him, and also to those who have backslidden, to come back to Him. He is ever merciful, forgiving, and gracious to those who call upon Him, to those who humbly come to Him. So my friends, if you are not a Christian, not a true believer, come to Him now. Wait no longer. Tomorrow may be too late. For those of you who are in Christ, rejoice. Praise and thank God for His mercy upon you, that through His Holy Spirit you can indeed say, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Can you stop praising God and giving thanks to Him for His salvation, which you do not deserve, for His redemption of your soul? Let us first be united to thank God for this gift, and to thank His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, shed His blood for the remission of our sins, and to give thanks to God, the Holy Spirit, who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Then secondly, let us, the Christian believers, go around to our neighborhood, to our friends, to our classmates, to at our working place, and more importantly, by our lives, our testimony, to tell others of Christ, both in word and deed, for the saving of your soul. The Christian's message is one of peace and reconciliation between a sinful generation and a righteous, just and holy God. True peace is not just the absence of war, but the securing of the favor of God, not incurring His righteous wrath. It is peace with God and the peace of God. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the message we ought to carry with us, not only during this festive season, but whenever, wherever we have opportunity. The Bible tells us as depraved sinners, we are all enemies with God unless there is a mediator to reconcile us back to Christ or to God in peace. There is no other way. Christ alone is our only advocate and mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. Christmas is about making peace with God and with our fellow man through the perfect life, atoning death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-5. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This is the purpose of the gift, of this unspeakable gift. Dear friends, beloved brethren, I say this to you, or I ask, do you truly understand and appreciate and celebrate of Christ, the birth of Christ, in the full understanding and appreciation of this public announcement of God's unspeakable gift, the person in God's gift of gift, and the purpose of God's gift of gift? Do you celebrate it and in an understanding way? Let us pause and ponder this sober and joyous life-changing gift of salvation through Christ alone. As the year draws to a close soon, come and seek Christ and be saved today. Let us come to Christ while there is still time, as God gives you the opportunity, and while He earnestly beseeches you to come. Once again, 2 Corinthians 6:12 reads, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Brethren and friends, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the only way to everlasting life. Do not seek any other way. Do not seek in books like the dummies. Do not seek any other way. Born of the Virgin Mary, He lived a perfect life that He may die a sinless death on the cross for you. He is the one whom the prophetess Anna proclaimed in her prayer in Luke chapter 2 verse 38. Now the question is, what have you done with the gift of gifts? There is no other way to be saved, I repeat, and there is no other way to be with Jesus in heaven except through Christ alone. Are you saved? Are you a born-again believer? Or have you been backslidden from the Lord? Do you have the joy of salvation? Truly, I mean. Not joy while you are having shopping and having a time of feasting and banqueting. I'm not talking about that joy. But joy of salvation. The hope of eternal life. Oh friends, it can be yours if you truly humble yourself, repent, and confess Christ as your Lord and Savior with your heart. For those who are in Christ, I speak to you once again that as your Lord, as your Savior, through the Holy Spirit, may you, before the end of this year, and before you step into the new year, may I remind you to spend some time to reflect and to give thanks, and to pray that the Lord will renew you and give you strength to walk with Him daily in holiness. Then indeed, the love of Christ will flow from your heart to another person, to others, even to those who are outside of Christ, just like it did to the Corinthian Christians. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He is the true deliverer of our souls. He is the Lord that deserves our worship and adoration like the angels did. And remember also, He is coming again soon to judge this sin-cursed world. And so let us come and worship and praise God for this gift of gift. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, once again we must confess. That our heart is so far away from Thee. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again. Sanctify us by Thy Holy Spirit. Soften our hearts, O Lord. Increase our faith. Increase our love for Thee. Increase the love of Christ in our hearts, O Lord. O Heavenly Father, help us to turn to Thee before the end of this year, before we step into the new year, as You are gracious and merciful. Help us, O Lord, to seek after Thee. In Jesus' name, Amen.